We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery.
Practice 5 of Mountaineer Fall Camp is now in the books. The Mountaineers are working out up on the Steve Annaline family practice facility earlier today. Split squad practice again today. The first group this time was the older players, and the second group out on the field was some of the younger guys. Coach Neil Brown said the focus today was on the run game. Defense won the first part of the split squad practice among the first group. Offense getting the better part of it during the latter part of the first practice. Among the second group with the younger guys, Brown said that it was a little bit sloppy. But overall, another good day of work for the Mountaineers, day 5 of fall camp. The team will have a practice on Wednesday. Thursday will be off. Friday, Brown said, will be a light practice. And then on Saturday, Brown said they will scrimmage inside the stadium with officials. He's not sure yet how much tackling they will do in this practice, but he did indicate that some of the work done on Saturday will begin to determine what they do as far as narrowing down some of the reps and getting that pared down to the guys that are going to be getting ready for the opener with Maryland. So again, another good day of practice. Listen to what Coach Brown had to say with media coming up right after this.
West Virginia is a special place, but it's the people that make it special.
Honestly, it is the crowd. It's the people.
This is one of the great environments. There are no pro teams in the state of West Virginia. They love West Virginia sports right here.
This is the most underrated fan base in the country.
Grass Resource, state of West Virginia, is not coal. Grass Resource is its people.
Join the climb today at WVUtimeToClimb.com.
Day 5, had a recovery day yesterday. Guys had a lot of energy. We went back to split practices today. More of a focus on the run game on both sides of the ball. Worked some quality special teams with kickoff and punt, two areas that can win and lose you a game. I thought with the first practice, the blue group went out. Thought the defense really had an edge in the first half. Offense did a really good job 2 minutes into half, kind of swung the momentum. Offense probably won the second half. And the second group is kind of even, probably a little bit sloppier. Our second group was a lot of our younger players. Not exactly what we're looking for, but in their defense, it was the first time that we've really tried to line up and just run the ball for extended periods of time. So with that, I'll take questions. Greg?
So, Neil, I guess tomorrow you start with full pads. Am I right? So
yes.
What have you learned in no pads? And now what can you hopefully try to figure out a little bit as you get into full contact?
Yeah, well, today was our first real shell, what we call shells, which is basically uppers and padded girdle. I don't know how much you can tell other than what they know, alignment and assignment, when you just practice in helmets only. I understand what we do with the acclimatization process, and I agree with it. But as far as playing real football, I'm not sure it gives you an accurate look, just because the game's so much different when you have to play with pads on and you add the physical element. So today was the first opportunity our guys have had to play really what I would call real football. What we have learned, I think that from the way we look, and y'all have been there for two of them, is we look better. I think our team speed is the best that we've had in 3 years. We're a longer team. I think we have more depth at certain positions. Offensive line, linebacker, I think we have some guys that can play in those particular positions. But the thing, too, is that really shows up. There's significant difference in our ones and twos on defense especially. So we've got to do a good job getting those young guys. They're talent there. We just have to get some experience, and we have to do that quickly.
How far are your bandits from coming? Just from when you first got here to now, physically those look like guys.
Yeah, they do. I think that Vandarius has really adjusted to playing that and taking ownership as far as he really fought the move for probably the better half of a year and a half, and now he understands how he can be a quality player at that position. If you go back through the years of people that played that position for us, and then historically in this defense, there's been some really good players and productive players, and probably first ballot Hall of Famer coming up next year. There's been guys that have been first team all league, defense player of the year. So a lot of production from that position. We've had to change it, what we asked them to do the last 2 years. I think we can get back to this year being the first year, we can get back to what we want out of that, which is a guy that has length, that can play in the box, that can play on the edge and give us a plus pass rush, but also can drop and be an effective dropper in some of our zone blitz stuff. And so if you look at it, not only VD, but Jared Bartlett has had a great start to camp, coming off what was probably his best probably month since he's been here in the month of July, just physically getting ready in preparation for the season. And then we play in Linnell Carr out there some too, who's probably our most natural pass rusher that we have in our program. And so we have some guys there that I think can really help us on at that position and on defense in total.
Where is your depth overall compared to when you first got here?
Well, I think that we have more depth. John asked me a similar question to that walking in. Offensive line-wise, it's night and day, okay? The receiver room is – we have more quality players. Now a lot of them are the same guys. They're just – over 2 years, your body changes a lot. And those guys – had to play before they were ready. You've heard me say that before. And so now physically those guys are ready. Our tight end room is totally different. We have we really struggled with that position in year one. Running back is – last year we were thin in that. I think it's better now. But we had some depth there at that position in year one. Defensive, I think it the first and second level, our depth is much improved. Now, on the third level, we have numbers, but, we have really old guys and really young guys. So I like the talent in that third level in the secondary, but there's a lot of inexperience there, and we're going to have to get those guys ready, and we're getting them a lot of reps. That's part of the reason why we split squads practice, or we two-spot every drill that we do when we practice all together.
Is there anybody jumping out at that corner? corner spot opposite Nick Troy between Jackie and Daryl Charles right now?
Yeah, I think that Daryl Porter's had a tremendous start to camp. Now, he's got to continue. He had a really good start last year in camp. He kind of fell off. I think his body's more mature, and he's going to be able to handle the work better than he did a year ago. And Jackie's been bothered by a little bit of a foot, but he's playing through it. I like both those guys. I like Charles Woods. You know, I think he's a guy that he's getting used to the speed of the game because it's faster. But I think all three of those guys are more than capable. Easy group today.
With that depth, first couple years you didn't rotate a whole lot. Maybe it's just because you didn't have numbers at most positions. Would you like to rotate if you have depth, or is it ride the hot horse?
No, I think defensive line wise you have to rotate, and we did rotate them last year, but there was a significant drop off between our first and second group. And really what we ended up doing last year was going to kind of a three-man rotation at end, three-man rotation at both interior spots. And we were okay, except when we got – where we had to play, four true down linemen. You know, the Iowa State game, they got worn out. And then in the Texas Tech game where they played with tempo, our production in the second half wasn't good enough. And so right now what we're trying to do is develop some of that. And what we've talked about from a staff standpoint is we have to play them. You have to play guys up front. And then offensive line-wise, you'd like to get where you had about seven that were ready to play. And then the flow of the game will dictate. We probably played six last year quite a bit. I'd like to get to that seven number.
I asked Jerry the other day, where's Sam Brown at? He's obviously been here a year. What are your expectations?
Yeah, I think he has flashes. I think that he's talented. He's got to be more consistent in every facet of his life. I think he's got to take care of his body. He's had some cramp issues where he's got to do a better job of hydrating, eating, and sleeping. But he's talented. He's a physical presence. He's what we wanted when we recruited from a playmaking standpoint. He's got quality hands. He's got a good burst. He's got to do a better job of taking care of his body. He's got to do a better job of being detail oriented on the field, and he's got to grow. And so I would say he's a work in progress. Is he better than he was a year ago? Yes. Is he better than he was probably 2 months ago? Yes. Is he where we would like him? No.
Everything that I read as far as the obituaries went and the likes, his value system, his goals seem to be very similar to what you were trying to do. Did he have an influence on you, or did that just come about by the kind of people that you were?
Well, I would say that here's what I think he did. I think he had a tremendous impact on coaching, and honestly, I probably. From a coaching perspective, there's no doubt. And then from a value perspective, I probably pale in comparison. But, I think he was just – I was very fortunate to go down and visit a few times while he was the head coach. We played him my first year at Troy as an assistant and really had a chance to beat Florida State. I think they were ranked ninth in the country. Played them in 06, and they came back and scored. We were winning the game in the fourth quarter. They came back and scored and won. And he was just very humble and to our team, and that's something that always stood out. Even the week after the game, reached out to Coach Blakeney, our head coach, and I thought that showed a lot of class. And, I think he just did a tremendous amount for the coaching profession, really. He was about the right things. I was fortunate to hear him speak several times at some different FCA events, and I thought he always spoke from the heart and did a great job. And the other thing, and I think I talked about this maybe with John, is he really changed the way the game was played offensively. Maybe the first program that played with tempo, the first program that spread the field and got a lot of athletes on there when they had Charlie Ward. And I think there's something to be said for the perseverance that he had. how many wide was it wide left or wide rights you would remember, but he was able to overcome and then get to the national championship. He was close so many times, so I thought he showed tremendous perseverance. And then he was consistent. You know, I don't know if there'll ever be another, you know, outside of what Alabama's maybe doing, but the run he had was unbelievable. The number of top 10 finishes and those things. And then, you know, really since his passing, I think one thing that really stuck out to me is in all the stuff that I've read is when he was the head coach here, how he handled the Marshall plane crash with so much class and dignity. And I just think that how he handled that, the more I read about it, is really impressive to me.
Coach, I got a text here. I got to read you, ask this question. Devell Washington progressing, the position change from wide out to linebacker. How's he doing there?
Yeah, so I think today I'll be able to answer that better probably after watching the film. The one thing that we've got to see from him is him be physical. And it's unnatural because I think I've talked about this before. He's moving from wide out, but he played some defense in high school, but he played safety, and it's just totally different. So now he's playing on the edge of the defense, what we ask our will linebacker to do, and he's learning. You know, my expectations for Devell is he continues to improve as a linebacker. Hope as the year goes on, he can be a quality backup. But I really think he should have an impact on special teams. He's athletic. He's long. He can run. He's got to learn how to be physical, you know, how to be the guy that initiates the contact. And that just because that's not something he's had to do yet. I know what you're saying.
Yeah, thank you. Can't spell that one either. Just what do you think so far?
You know, I don't know if it's a whole lot different. Mike, I understand why we changed the preseason camp model. I think it got, you know, as, you know, the rules committee and there was a group of coaches. You know, I think Pat Fitzgerald was on there. David Shaw was on there. I think as we kind of got to the finish line, it got to a fair consensus. You know, I think a lot of what we're doing is most coaches were doing already. It was just like in any profession, you know, it's a few ones that are outside the lines that force everybody to change. But it's not much different than what we were doing. You know, it's really not way to, you know, normally we'd have been in full pads today. We're going to be in full pads tomorrow. But I don't think there's a huge difference.
Okay. Anything else for Coach?
No.
All right. Good.
Yeah, it's fine.
Understanding this is that period where you're still everybody's getting to know and get comfortable again. Is there a date? Is there a practice? Is there a part of the preseason where you anticipate the flip of the switch?
Yeah, Mike. So I think once we get through today and tomorrow, where guys get used to thud situations and tackle situations, you know, I expect it to be cleaner on Saturday. The first 2 days where you have contact, so we're going to go today. We had what we call a thud. Nobody's getting tackled. He's had a thud. And then tomorrow we'll thud again. So those 2 days where you get your body kind of acclimated to getting hit, and it's more up front than it is at the skill positions. Then we'll have a day off on Thursday. Then we'll come back and have a light practice on Friday. I anticipate on Saturday, that's the day where we're going to be in the stadium. It'll be all team. How much we tackle, how much we don't, to be determined. But I think that's the day where it'll start to show. I think when we come into through Saturday, you'll say, okay, I think these guys have taken the step that we need them to, or maybe they're not quite ready. What do we need to do in the next week to kind of get them there?
You mentioned O'Loughlin, an injury. We've seen him in a boot. Any anticipation that he comes back from camp? Or were you?
So I think we'll have a better – we're going to get through this week and probably next week and get 2 weeks out from the game and kind of make a determination right there. Okay, we're going to really be it's not something that we're worried about season-wide or anything like that, but I think it's better. He's already got a bunch of reps. You know, it's – not the worst thing in the world that he's not banging just because he's had to do that a lot over the last 2 years. And so we're being safe, probably cautious would be a good word. We're going to leave in that boot this week, probably through next week, and then kind of reevaluate him.
And that was Coach Neil Brown. Thanks for listening to this Mountaineer Football Practice Podcast. I'm John Antonik.